read a story this week of a 32-year-old woman from Georgia. She ordered an apple pie at McDonald's. Maybe some of you saw this story in the news feed, but she ordered the apple pie, and she was in the drive-thru at McDonald's, and they told her that it was going to be a little bit of a wait. It would be about 5 minutes for the apple pie to finish cooking, and she thought, okay. And so she waited the 5 minutes, and her expectations were, because she had had to wait so long, she thought she would get the pie for free. So when they handed her the pie and asked her to pay the $1.07, she got a bit upset. The story says she began to swear at the worker at McDonald's. One version of this said she threw the apple pie back at one of the workers and just began to get irate because she had to pay this $1.07. Soon the police were called, and when the officer showed up, the woman got out of her car and began to make threatening gestures at one of the managers at McDonald's, and so she was taken to the police station on a thing of a disorderly conduct. Not only that, but her car was towed, and so she had to pay a lot more than the $1.07 in the end for the apple pie. One friend of one of the McDonald's workers said this. He said, "It's just crazy over a dollar apple pie. I mean, really? People have lost their minds. She needs to go to church and find Jesus." I couldn't agree with him more. This story is just one example of the lack of patience in our society. We want everything quickly. You've heard the phrase, good things come to those who wait. Well, we want good things, and we want them right now. But what does the Bible say about waiting? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. "But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." They who wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Psalm 27. Psalm 40. "I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry." A couple from Psalm chapter 62, verse 1 says, "For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation." Verse 5, "For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him." The psalmist sees that God's hope, God's salvation is worth waiting for. Waiting is not just a theme of the Old Testament. Patience is not just a theme of the Old Testament, but it's also in the New Testament. Galatians chapter 5, these are known as the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. As a matter of fact, in Paul's writing, he talks about patience actually in many of his letters. Being patient. But what does that have to do? We've been in the book of Genesis, the series called In the Beginning. What does that have to do with the book of Genesis? Genesis chapter 1, God created the heavens and the earth, and 6 days later we're completed. That doesn't sound like being very patient to me. God did it in 6 days. He created everything. But as I read over the chapters following what we covered last week in Genesis chapter 12, the call of Abram, I began to see that patience was a common theme in these texts as well. I'm going to read several of the promises, and you can follow along in your copy of God's Word. I encourage you to do that, or in your app, or whatever you have. We're going to start in Genesis chapter 12. We're going to go through these very quickly, though. Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 says this. promise to Abram. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Flip over to chapter 13, verse 14. The Lord said to Abram after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land that you see I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring as the dust of the earth, so that if one can count the dust of the earth, your offspring also can be counted. I don't know about the dust of the earth, but sometimes it's the dust of the house. I don't know if you can count the dust of your house or not, but he said, look at the dust of the earth. If you go outside and you can number the dust of the earth, that's how many your descendants are going to be. Jump to Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. Jump down to verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look toward the heaven and number the stars. If you are able to number them, then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Verse 18. God's promises again to Abram. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram saying, to your offspring I give this land. And then he spells out where all that land is going to be. Chapter 17. Chapter 17, verse 4. God gives this promise to Abram. Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you the father of a multitude of nations, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your offspring after you, and I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land of your sojournings as the land, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Jump down to verse 15 and 16 of chapter 17. And God said this to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall now call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of people shall come from her. We read these scriptures and we read about all the promises that were given to Abram, or Abraham as he's later called, or Sarai and as Sarah she's later called. We hear about all these promises of a multitude of people, as many as the dust of the earth, or the stars in the heavens. He says, Abram, I promise you I will give you this land. This land will be yours. It will be your possession. I will make you into a nation. But we don't always see the time frame in all of that, do we? We don't always see how long it took God to take some of those. So let's go back. Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, verse 4. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed Haran. God first makes this promise to Abraham and says, you need to go. We talked about that last week. He was 75 years old. Timely, I think. He was 75 years old. And he said, Abraham, you need to move. You need to leave your location. You need to go to a new place. You need to go to a new land. And Abram said, let's go. Abram said, let's get started. Let's do this. I'm going to obey my God, and I'm going to do what you tell me to do. And so he moves with his family. It says his nephew Lot went with them, and they travel, and they begin to follow God's calling in their life. Flip over to Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16 is a story of Sarai and Hagar, where we'll call her Sarah because she's called that later on. Sarah decides that this isn't working. And so she needs to take her servant Hagar, that maybe Abram could have a son through him, and this lineage could happen because of that. But this is where we're at Genesis 16, verse 3. So after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian, her servant, and gave her to Abram, her husband, as a wife. Verse 16. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. What's the period of time that's happened already? 10, 11 years. Abram was 75 when he left his land. He was obeying God exactly like he was told to do. And now 10 or 11 years old, what's their response? God, hurry up. We're now no spring chickens here, God. We're not getting any younger. Come on, you said there's this plan. We're supposed to have a son. You're going to make a nation out of him. Come on. And you can see the impatience there after 10 years. Finally, Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. It talks about his name change and that he is going to have now a son. Verse 17 tells us a little bit of Sarah's time frame as well. And so verse 17, then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. He laughed and said to himself, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? Apparently there was a little age difference there. She was a little bit younger. She still was no spring chicken herself. 90 years old. 100 years old. God is finally fulfilling his promises. I'm no expert at math, but my math says that was 25 years. It was 25 years from the first moment when God said, go, I'm going to do this for you. He begins to travel. He begins to follow through on his end of the deal, and he's just waiting. The psalmist said, what? I wait patiently for the Lord. How often do we wait patiently for God's plans? I really enjoy the movies, The Lord of the Rings. I'm kind of a nerd in that way, some of those sci-fi things. But I enjoy the movies, The Lord of the Rings. In the first movie, The Fellowship of the Ring, there's this kind of beginning scene where Gandalf is riding in on a cart, and Frodo runs up, and he stands at the edge, and he goes, Gandalf, you're late. Do you remember what Gandalf said? He said, a wizard is never late, Frodo Baggins, nor is he early. He arrives precisely when he means to. Then they chuckle and the movie continues on. But what I want to point out here, God is not a wizard or a genie. That's not what I'm implying. But God always works. God always works in the way he plans. God always works in the exact timing he plans. And God is never surprised. There is nothing that you are going through right now that God is surprised about. God is never, ever surprised. Genesis chapter 21, verse 1. The Lord visited Sarah as he said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. At the time of which God had spoken to him about. Verse 5. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. God had been telling Abraham, 25 years now, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to make of you a great nation. I'm going to make of you a people. I'm going to make of you at least somebody to be your heir. You have nobody right now. So what do we learn from these texts? How do we take this story in the Old Testament and apply it to our time frame in 2019? What can we learn about God's timing this morning? I think there's several lessons that we can learn on patience. Number one, God is faithful. No matter what time frame we think God should be on, God is going to fulfill all of his promises. God gives us many promises in the New Testament, and God is going to fulfill every one of those because he is a faithful God. We also can learn that God has his own time frame. God has his own time frame for things, and though it's hard to understand, Jesus said to the disciples in Acts chapter 1, he said these words, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority." It's not for you to know those times, and so God has his own timing for things, and we don't always understand them. We also have to understand that we are impatient. I think I probably don't need to go into that one real in depth, because I think we understand our impatience. We're always going to be tempted into situations just like Sarah was with Hagar, her servant, to fulfill God's promises on our own power and in our own timing. And that's not the way that God works. We also have to remember that God's timing is perfect. 2 Peter 3 says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises. Some could count slowness, but he is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." God is patient towards us, and his timing is perfect. God's plan involves humanity. I don't have to give a verse for this. It's the whole Bible. God created in Genesis 1, and then his plan was humanity. His plan was to work within humanity. His plan was to send his son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross to pay the penalty for the wickedness that happened way back in Genesis chapter 3. But God's plan involves humanity, and he created us, we'll talk about in a moment, for his own glory. God's plans are bigger than one person. There's a part of this story I just wanted to touch on this morning because it grabbed my attention multiple times as I was reading over it. It's in Genesis chapter 15. It's verses 13 through 16. The Lord speaking to Abraham again, and he says this, "Then the Lord said to Abram, know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs and will be servants there. They will be afflicted for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions." God says this to Abram, "As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace, and you shall be buried in a good old age." Verse 16, "And they shall come back here in the fourth generation after those 400 years, for the iniquity, the sinfulness, the wickedness of the Amorites is not yet complete." The Amorites were there already. Abram was traveling through their land, and you can read later on in the Bible how God uses the nation of Israel to come in and wipe out the Amorites. But he said, your people are going to be afflicted for 400 years. These offspring I promised you, everything that I have planned, they're going to wander the desert, they're going to have this whole thing that happens to them, but they're going to come back here once the Amorites' wickedness is completed. I don't know how many times I read through that. I talked to Stacy at one point about that passage. It kind of blows my mind. God has this much bigger plan even than just one person like Abram. Finally, sometimes patience requires changing our perspective. It's funny because I was sitting in the Sunday school class with Jim and Steve and Cindy and everybody else in that class, and they actually pretty much preached half my sermon in the class this morning. But changing perspective, we are an impatient people. I am impatient. Probably I need this sermon more than most people, but I tend to be impatient because we want our own immediate gratification. We want our own selfishness sometimes to just be completed. But we need to change our perspective. The perspective is that our whole life was created to glorify God. From the moment you're born to the minute you die, you were created to glorify God. How do I know that? Isaiah chapter 43 says, "Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory," created for God's glory, "whom I formed and made." And you would think Jesus Christ Everything, all the glory would have gone to him. But he even says in John, the book of John, he says, now is my soul troubled. Jesus is walking along and the heaviness of the weight of the cross is upon him. He has this realization of what's going to happen, that he's going to have to die on a cross. He's going to experience a separation from his Father. And he says, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? He says, but no, for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. There are three times the Father speaks from heaven to Jesus. This is one of them. He says, then a voice came from heaven. It was the Heavenly Father speaking. I have glorified it, speaking of his name. I have glorified my name, and I will glorify it again. Sometimes I chuckle at the response. The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. But the truth is, the Heavenly Father had spoken and said, yes, my name will be glorified through what you're about to do. Jesus didn't even try to put the glory on himself, but reflected the glory back to his Heavenly Father. I remember talking about change of perspective here. I remember when I was little, I was riding in the back of our parents' car, and they were exiting a highway, and there were two cars in front of them. I think it had snowed just that day or the night before, and so everybody's kind of waiting, but it's a busy street that everybody's trying to turn on. The people directly in front of my parents' car got impatient with the person in front of them and decided they were going to go around. And so they just went. They didn't see the traffic that was coming on, and boom. I remember witnessing that. I don't remember how old I was. I was probably 7 or 8 at the time. I remember witnessing that. Crash. The loudness. The repercussions of that. If they had just waited their turn, car in front of them would have waited till traffic cleared. They would have went, and then they could have went, and then my parents could have went, and the cops wouldn't have had to show up. Somehow with impatience, cops ended up showing up. These situations, I'm not sure why, but aren't we all like that in some degree, though? Impatient. We just want to go quickly. We want to have our needs met immediately. Sometimes we need to take a step back from our perspective. We need to be patient to allow God to bring about whatever he is planning. But realize that it's all for his glory, no matter what situation you're in. No matter what you're going through, it's for his glory. We get so self-focused. We get so self-focused that, okay, the world is about me and the world revolves around me, so everybody needs to meet my needs. Everybody needs to do all this for me, and it's not about me. Sometimes I have to change my perspective. I've told this story other times, but there are times when I work here at the church, so I leave and I head home, and I get expectations that I think, man, I want to come home and I have this view of what's going to happen when I'm at home. And I think, oh, my wife's going to be there and she's going to be making dinner and I'm going to smell the aroma when I walk in the room. And the kids are going to be sitting nicely on the couch and they're going to be watching a show. And then I have this picture of walking in and turning and saying, Daddy! And I sit down with them and put their arms around them. And that's just not necessarily what I walk into every day. Some days I get home and I have this expectation in my mind and I walk in the door and there's no good, wonderful smell. Stacy's trying to keep the kids from killing each other. And they're running around screaming with toys are everywhere. And what happens if I walk in with my first perspective, with my first expectations? No, this isn't what's supposed to be happening. Why aren't you doing what you're supposed to be doing? Everybody's supposed to be in their place. It's what I want. Why do I want that? Because I just want leisure. I want to be able to go in and just sit down with my kids, and put my feet up. But what really happens when I get home? It's really I need to have a mindset of, okay, I need to walk in and say, okay, I know this situation's happening. What? How can I help? What can I do? Stacy, do you need to walk away for an hour? Do you need to go for a walk? You've had all day with these kids. I've had 5 minutes, and I'm not sure I'm going to make it. Please don't say you want to go for a walk. No, but we walk in with our expectations, with our minds set. So sometimes it's just a change in perspective. Thinking about others. Quickly, I'll go through these. Developing patience. How do we develop patience? Have the right perspective. Sometimes we need to think of things through God's eyes, and we don't always know why he does things. The Bible tells us, God says, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts, declares the Lord. We don't always know why God decides to do things, but God does them for a purpose. God allows them to happen for a purpose. We need to give grace to others. We all fail at this. God extends so much grace to us, but then when it comes to us giving grace to others or experiencing patience with them, we fail so miserably at that. I fail so miserably at that. Pray. Say, God, give me patience in this situation. God, help me to be patient. Practice patience. Serve others. Steve mentioned this morning that he's going to go to Nicaragua at the end of the month and serve there, build a church with another church group. And how do you start to begin to experience patience? How do you have a change in perspective? Begin to serve others. I can tell you times in my life where I've had a bad heart. What changed it? Well, worshiping God changes it. Serving others. Sometimes it's forced serving. Somebody walks in and they have a need, and so I have to serve them because they walk in the door of the church. But then my heart changes because of serving others, practicing patience. Give yourself enough time. This is a fairly easy one. We don't do it enough, though. We pack our days as full as we possibly can, and then we have to leave, and then we don't have time, and so then we're impatient with others. That's just a few of the things. Sing the patience song. I know it's there. We have to do it at our house sometimes. Have patience, don't be in such a hurry. When you get impatient, you only start to worry. Remember, remember that God is patient too. So think of all the times when he... others who have to wait for you, that's what it is. Usually they start singing it, so I don't have to. We have to have patience. Because we don't understand always what God's plans are. And he doesn't always choose to reveal all of his plans just like he did to Abram. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, God, give us patience. Give us wisdom. Give us the ability to trust you with the many, many things that are happening in our lives. Help us to only rely on you and only turn to you and only to give you the glory and honor and praise that you so deserve. God, may you be glorified in our thoughts and our actions and our lives and through our patience. In Jesus' name, amen.